Let's pray. Father God, we truly lay it all down at your feet. Now, as we dig into your word today and we really meditate on what it means to know Christ, I pray that we can take anything and everything that distracts us, and we can lay it at the cross of Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Well, good morning, family. We're going to continue in our series today on to live is Christ. And we're digging through Philippians. You're going to flip in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. But before we dive in today, I did want to talk about our next series. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to start a new series, and it's titled something. There we go. It is titled Winning the War in Your Mind. Winning the war in your mind. And we're going to focus, it's been a tough year for all of us, the last couple of years. We're going to focus on the mind and how do we submit our minds to Christ. It's going to be a really exciting time, a six-week series. And we're actually encouraging all the family groups to invest in this book. And we're inviting you to buy this book. And we're going to be loosely tying in our lessons to this book by Craig Groeschel. But what we're going to encourage all of you to do in your family groups is to go through the book together and to go through the practice. There's practices and exercises at the end of the book, at the end of each chapter that you can do each week in your family group. So that's going to be really meaningful. You can get this book. It's been really just eye-opening for LaToya and I as we've gone through it. But that has nothing to do with today. Today, what we're talking about is to live. I want to know Christ. I don't know if this works, Michelle. We're talking about I want to know Christ. And we're going to be in Philippians 3, and we're going to jump right in. Philippians 3 verse 7, we're going to read this paragraph, and this is going to be our launching pad for our message today, to really not just look here, but the idea of knowing God and knowing Christ is so central to Christianity. We're going to look at several different passages, but in Philippians 3 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. This is an awesome passage, isn't it? It's a great scripture, and we're talking here about knowing Christ. So to start out, we first got to talk about this phrase, I want to know Christ. Well, know in the Bible, next slide. I can't advance it. Yep, go back one. There you go, thank you. So I want to know Christ. Know in the Bible is not merely an intellectual cognitive knowledge that you believe that happened historically. To know scripturally, the Greek word there literally means to have an intimate, deep relationship with. It means to experience personally. In fact, so much so, next slide, that over in Matthew chapter 1, we see this word know is actually used for intercourse. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the G version of intercourse before they came together, right? And the KJV actually translates it as they knew each other, but it's the same Greek word. It was a Greek idiom for intercourse. So when we say I want to know Christ, it is a personal, intimate, experiential relationship that is deep and personal. That's what we're talking about today. You might have come here and think you know about God. We're not talking about if you have knowledge about God this morning. We're talking about having a deep relationship, an intimate relationship with Christ. Amen? And then back in Philippians 3 and verse 8, next slide, Paul says, well, what is more? I consider everything a loss because of their surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Paul says this experiential relationship with Christ is so incredible that every gain in this world, every desire that we can have in this world, every success that we can experience is garbage. That word garbage can be translated dung, poop, feces. He says, I mean, that's how low it is compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. So what I want to focus on here is, why is there surpassing worth in knowing Christ? If someone were to ask you that in the grocery store this afternoon, what would you say? Why is there surpassing worth? And I want to dig into some things that for me really stand out to why there's surpassing worth in knowing Christ. We're going to look at three things about this. First of all, back in this passage, in Philippians 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Why is there surpassing worth in knowing Christ? Because of the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul has experienced that power. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? When he first meets the power of Christ? I mean, it hits him so hard he's blinded for 3 days, right? But that was nothing compared to his life transformation. We remember the story, right? Where Paul was literally a murderer of Christians. He would hunt them down to kill them. And his name was literally Saul, even before Paul. And then when he met Christ, it transformed him from going to hunting down and killing Christians to being the greatest Christian missionary of all time. Transformation to writing more books in the New Testament than anybody else. Paul has experienced the power of the resurrection. And yet what he says right here, he doesn't say, I have experienced Christ. He doesn't say, I knew the power. He says, I still want to know. The power of resurrection continues in our life. Paul knew that his conversion was just the beginning of that power coming to fruition in his life, and that it still continued. You can't know Christ without knowing the power of his resurrection. To know Christ is to know the transforming power. If you're here this morning and you've believed, you repented, you've gotten baptized, you've gotten converted to Christ, you know what it's like to experience transformational power. But that doesn't just stay there. We can't leave that power there. You can still transform. If you're not experiencing that transformation or power still, actively, presently in your life, you're missing this experiential power, this experiential relationship with Jesus. Let Christ's power continue to transform you. Nothing in your life is more powerful than the power of the resurrection. Nothing is. I don't care what sin you fell into this week or how terrible it makes you feel. Your sin is not more powerful than God's grace. God's grace can clean you. It can wash you. It can bring you back. No bad habit, no sinful power is stronger than the power of the resurrection. You can change, but not through your power, but through his power. The power that brought Jesus back to life can bring you from dead in your sins to alive in Christ even now. Do you still believe it? Do you still go after it? Why do I want to know Christ? I want to know Christ because of the power of the resurrection. Number two, why is there surpassing worth in knowing Christ? This one's all about God's character. For this one, we're going to go back to the book of Exodus and look at Moses. I wanted to look here because Moses was known as a friend of God. God spoke directly to him. They had an experiential relationship where Moses knew God. And right here in Exodus 33, Moses says, now show me your glory. What a big thing to ask of God. And glory in the scriptures didn't mean like, show me your radiant light. Show me your strength. Glory here meant show me your identity. Show me who you are. You can go back and read Exodus 33 and 34. It's a really cool passage, a great story. God walks in front of him, but God eventually does show him his glory. God's glory, God's name is his character. So this is what he says about who he is, what God's glory is in his character. Then the Lord proclaimed his name in Exodus 34. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. Why is there surpassing worth in knowing Christ? Because of who Christ is. It's not like some profound, deep, complicated, it's just really simple. Why do I want to know God? Because God's God in his character. This last 2 years has been really difficult for a lot of us. When was the last time you basked in the character of God and just said, man, God, your compassion, I feel it. Your faithfulness, your grace, I experience it. Man, you're not like me, quick to anger. You're slow to anger. Instead of abounding in anger, you're abounding in love for me. And I find peace in that, God. When's the last time you just meditated on God's character doesn't change regardless of your circumstance? And you just sat in the midst of the chaos, you were able to find peace. But not because of you, but because of his character. Why is there surpassing worth in knowing God? Because of who he is and his character. Amen? Number three, why is there surpassing worth in knowing God and knowing Christ? Our purpose. It's because God has given us a purpose. And I want to talk about this. And for this one, don't go to the next slide yet. For this one, I want to go back to Genesis. All right. And Genesis, it's so important as you're talking about big stories and big concepts in the scripture to go back to the origin, because that's where all of these narratives, all these stories kind of started, including what our purpose is. So in Genesis, God created man, God created woman, God created Adam and Eve, and then he designed them to have a relationship with him. So he talked with them. He worked with them in the garden. He was among them. He was with them in the garden. And so much so, next slide, that in Genesis 2, through this intimate relationship, even though Adam and his wife were both naked, they felt no shame. They had such a deep, intimate connection with God. Even though they were laid bare before him, they had no shame. What a beautiful image. I love this concept in Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine going on a walk with God? That would be awesome. One of my favorite things to do with my wife is to go on a walk with her at the beach. Got the waves, you got the sun, right? It's awesome. I love going on a walk with her at the beach. You know what one of my wife's favorite things to do? Is sitting with me at the beach. She doesn't want to move, and I want to move. So we compromise. We actually both love throwing the football on the beach. Awesome. Love that. But can you imagine going on a walk with God? We were designed to have an intimate relationship with God. You're literally designed for that. It was placed inside of you. Your purpose is God. The purpose of our lives is to have relationship. The same way that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit had a relationship, he created us to have that relationship with him. It's this beautiful imagery. And you do your very best when you do what you were designed to do. You'll never reach your full potential unless you do what you were designed to do. You'll never experience your very best to have true fulfillment, to have true meaning, unless you go off of the purpose that you were designed for. And that purpose is God. If you're here this morning and maybe you've been visiting for a while and maybe you've been getting involved in a small group or studying out the scriptures, digging through the scriptures with some of your friends, I want to encourage you. If you haven't gone all in to know God yet, if you haven't decided that knowing God matters more than everything on this earth, don't hold back any longer. God's worth it. Knowing him is worth it. There is surpassing worth in knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. There's surpassing worth. God is the greatest treasure you could ever have. There's nothing more important. I don't know what Satan has been lying to you about and about what he's been convincing you is better than having a relationship with God. What he's been fooling you into making you slow down and not go all in. Don't let Satan trick you anymore. Go all in. Decide that knowing Christ matters more than everything. Decide that your life is not perfect until you know Jesus. Decide to go all in to be a disciple of Jesus. It has surpassing worth, amen? Our purpose is God. So that's for the people, for those of us that, you can go back. That's for those of us that are trying to figure this out to go all in. What about for those of us that have gone all in and we're disciples of Jesus and we've decided to follow Jesus maybe for years and decades? I don't know about you, but I know about me is that I do a really good job at making other things my purpose instead of God. I do a really good job at it. And so what I want to do is now I want to talk about three other things. I want to talk about three things that I think we can let get in the way of or make our purpose over God. Cool deal? So number one, God is our purpose, but have you made your purpose your mission? The mission. Now, Jordan, what are you talking about here? Hear me out. This is for those of us that are really Christian, that really love God. And I know for me, it's so easy to get my meaning from life and get my identity from life, the impact that I make. Like, it can be so easy for me to switch up my mission and my purpose and to make making disciples and serving the world and making an impact on the world and making that my main purpose in life instead of making God my main purpose. The truth is, next slide, is that our purpose is God and our mission is to make disciples and to serve the world. And this is so simple, yet it's so important. You won't last very long if you get those flipped up. And you have to, our mission flows from our walk with God. But our walk with God is our purpose. That's where we get our meaning. But then we can have impact on the mission. I love how David words it in Psalms. In Psalms 27, he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Man, I love that. David says, "I don't seek anything else, only one thing that I seek. If only I can have you, God. If only I can experience you. Everything else is after that." Our God is our purpose. Our mission is to make disciples. The reality is, though, is that we serve a God that is on mission. And if you are with him, you can't be with him very long without him taking you along with him on mission. And so if you aren't involved in serving, if you aren't involved in making disciples, hey, do it, but make sure it's because of God and not getting it switched up. Okay, number two, our purpose is God. But have you made your purpose Christian principles? Okay, wait a second, Jordan. What are you talking about now? What do you mean by that? Well, hear me out. This is for those of us that have been around a while, okay? It's for those of us that have been around a while. The principles of this book are incredible. If you follow the scriptures and you follow what's in here, you will experience the blessings of God. Yet, we're not in it for the blessings that we can receive. We're in it because of the true blessing, mainly God himself. I'm so convinced that the principles of Scripture work because they're from God that I forget the goal of the Scriptures. Next slide. The goal is knowing God. Following the Scriptures is the way that we get to God. We can get so focused on following this and following Christian principles that we can forget that the whole point of it was to teach us how to get to God and teach us how to have a relationship. At North River, if you're new here, we like to use the word disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. Not just someone that has some kind of belief or faith, but that you truly adopt the lifestyle of Christ. But the reason that we decide to be a disciple of Christ and to enter his kingdom isn't because of we want to be moral people. It isn't because we just want to be like good Christian moral people in this world. It's because God is in his kingdom and we want to be with God. Have you overemphasized following scripture so much that you've landed in a place where you're disconnected from God? Because you can be a very moral person in this world and not have relationship with God. You guys following me? But it is great to know our word, amen? It's great to know the word. It's great to dive deeper into the scriptures, to discover the little nuggets of treasure. I would call every single person that can hear my voice right now to go deeper into the Bible. But not just so you know the Bible better, but so that you connect and to know God better. Amen? Okay, so we've kind of talked about some Christian ideas. Here's the big one, all right? Here's the big one. God is our purpose, but have you made your purpose your career? Have you made your purpose your career? Or your school you go to, or the major that you have? It is so easy in our workaholic culture to make our careers our purpose in life, to build our identity off of what our occupation is instead of where our adoption sets us, to say that what I do at work is what brings me meaning instead of who I am before God. It is so easy to do this. Now, in the right place, careers are amazing. We can work willingly at whatever we do as though we're working for the Lord. We can share our faith with our coworkers. We can provide for our family. We can give to society. That's all awesome. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when our heart posture changes and God is no longer our purpose, but we make our jobs our purpose. You guys know what I'm talking about? How has your job, how has your career affected your walk with God? Do you wake up thinking more about your responsibilities at work or about the power of the resurrection? Do you go to sleep just anxious over what that project you got to handle, that person that you got to have the conversation with, more than just basking in, I want to dwell in your house forever? How has it affected your walk with God? Both men and women are in our culture can be pulled into this. You guys know what I'm talking about? All of us can be pulled into this. However, if I can, I want to speak to the men. I want to speak to my fellow husbands. I want to speak to my fellow dads. Are you giving your best to your career and your emotional leftovers to your family and neglecting God in the process? Are you giving your first fruits of your energy, of your emotions, of your time to building your career? And then your family just gets whatever's left over. And in the process, you've just neglected God. If you're there, I know what that feels like. Because I've walked it. I've lived it. It's actually built into me. Don't think that just because my job is to be a minister or an evangelist doesn't mean I can not get sucked into this. It's kind of interesting. Like I get paid, thank you, from to know God and to help other people know God. And yet I can get more focused on building the church, on helping people grow, on helping people in their sin to experience the transforming power of God. And I can get so focused on that that I can neglect my family. I can get so focused on that that I can neglect my walk with God. And unfortunately, I was just talking to Jeff about this yesterday. How do I make my times with God about for me to know God, not just to help other people? If you're there, and you're giving if you're a man in this room, you give your very best to your career and the emotional leftovers to God and your family, I know what that's like. Earlier this week, I was reminded of a truth. I was reminded of a truth that there's a humble pill we need to accept. For as much good that we do at our jobs, you're replaceable at your work. You're replaceable. Sorry to break it to you. You know what's not replaceable? No one else can be the husband to your wife. That's not replaceable. No one else can be the father to your children. Only you can do that. What do I know about you if you're in that place right now? I know that you don't want to be there. I know you don't want to be there. I know you want to be a man that puts God first and to make God your purpose. That's why you're here. I know that you want to be a man that supports your family and builds your family up emotionally, that doesn't leave them neglected on the side. I know you want to do that. That's why you're here. I know that you want to be a man that puts God first and that seeks his family. But that means we have to change, guys. That means we can't let ourselves unintentionally get swept into the current of this culture. We have to intentionally decide, I'm going to be different. I'm gonna say there's not surpassing worth in my job, but there's surpassing worth in knowing Christ. That we have to make a claim to say, man, I'm going to rediscover the treasure of God. We can get so excited about what's happening at our jobs and just be apathetic towards God. We have to rediscover our first love. Rediscover the scriptures that ignite our hearts. Rediscover why we decided to do this in the first place. Husbands, rediscover the joy of being a Christ-like husband. Fathers, rediscover the joy of being a Christ-like dad. It's amazing, isn't it, guys? Yet this world wants to pull all of that away from us. My call to the men in this room is to engage. Engage, men. Men all in. Men all in. Don't be passive and get swept into work and not show up to your family anymore. Show up to your family. Don't be passive and get swept away into what the culture wants you to do and to neglect God. Don't do that anymore. Show up for your times with God. Say, this won't break. I'm taking a stand for who I am, and you decide what kind of man you want to be. Not what this society says you should be. Amen? Amen. Amen. We just got a new clock in the back that's telling me I'm over my time. So I don't know if I like that that's there or not. So I guess we should transition. Before we go into communion, we've talked about some things this morning. We've talked about why is there surpassing worth in knowing God. We've talked about because of the power of the resurrection. We've talked about because of who God is and his character. We've talked about our purpose and how he gave us a purpose to know him. And we've also been honest and said there's some things that we can make our purpose over God. Whether it's we can get our mission and our purpose switched up. Whether it's we can value Christian principles and morality over knowing God, or whether it's our career. And so as I read this passage in Philippians 3 to go into time of communion, I want to encourage you to remember why. Why do we make God our purpose? First and foremost, it's because Jesus decided to make you his purpose to die on the cross. And we're going to read again in Philippians 3 about this power. In verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray for communion. God, right now, as we take the bread that represents Jesus' body, as we take the juice that represents his blood, we know that there is power in your resurrection. And God, we recommit to you this morning to make you our purpose. But we do that because we remember how you made us your purpose to die on the cross. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.